In the Coptic Orthodox Church, this blessed day marks the feast of our Lord's ascension into the heavens. Let me just say that this feast is oftentimes greatly misunderstood. Let's get back to basics. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In this video, we're speaking about the Feast of our Lord's Ascension. As I said, although this is one of the seven great feasts of our Lord, on the same level as the Feasts of the Nativity and the Resurrection, it seems many do not prepare for or think about this feast with the same diligence. Maybe the issue is that we don't fully understand the importance of this feast. It's oftentimes viewed simply as an historical event. Just as our Lord came down from heaven, he had to go back up to heaven. This, however, is not what the ascension is in the Orthodox faith. It is so much more. Firstly, the gospel readings for the feast teach us that our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into the heavens from the Mount of Olives. But this physical ascent, which was witnessed by his disciples, was only an external manifestation of the true reality of his ascension. We can imagine Christ being lifted up from the earth and ascending upwards towards the brilliant blue sky until he was no longer visible to the plain eye. This scene leads us to the perfectly logical conclusion that our Lord ascended into a place that is observable by the physical eye. Throughout history, many people logically assumed that our Lord ascended from one physical place to another physical place. But this, of course, is not true. While the disciples and early Christians did not have the capability of physically seeing what lies beyond the brilliant blue sky, we do have that capability today as a result of scientific advances. If you analyze all of the images from the Hubble telescope, the satellites crawling throughout the different planets of our solar system, and the images from the many human space missions throughout the years, one thing becomes very clear. The kingdom of heaven is nowhere to be found in space. Of course, in all of these things, we do see God in his creation, just as we see God in the oceans, forests, deserts, and the rest of creation. But we cannot see the kingdom of heaven in space. There is a famous story of the Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, one of the first humans in space, and how he said, "I saw no sign of God in space." An Orthodox priest hearing this responded quickly, "If you don't see him on Earth, neither will you see him in space." This is the reality. The astronauts who travel to the International Space Station on the SpaceX shuttle today will have the same experience. Heaven, where God dwells, has absolutely no spatial relationship to this world. Heaven is the realm of God, the place that St. Paul describes as unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. Our Lord therefore ascended into heaven, which no man has or can see, in a great mystery. Despite this, in his love, he gave us an external sign of what was happening by allowing his followers to see him ascending from the earth towards the sky. We can say that the sky is the face of the heavens. Whenever we take a portrait of a person's face, we cannot see the rest of the person. All we see is the person's face. And in the same way, we can think of the sky as the face of heaven. The sky is not the full reality of heaven, but for us as human beings with limited understanding, God allowed us to see him ascending into the sky as a symbol of the greater mystery of his ascension to heaven itself. The beautiful blue sky that arches over the face of the earth helps us to understand the reality of heaven. But that sky itself is not the full reality of heaven, which remains concealed from us. While our Lord physically ascended into that beautiful blue sky, we have to remember that this is not the full reality. His true ascent is much more than that. Which brings us to our second point. Let's speak a little bit about theology. If our Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the heaven of heavens, which no human has ever approached until that time, then we can say that a human being has now entered heaven. This human being, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ, who, as we proclaim, is perfect God and perfect man at the same time. He entered into heaven as the pre-existent Word of God, who was incarnate and assumed our human condition except for sin. This further means that the divine economy of salvation is completed in our Lord's ascension. It was not a formality that had to be completed so that Christ could return to the place from whence he came. Instead, it is a very important part of the divine economy of salvation, just as important as the incarnation, the passion, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. St. Paul tells us in Hebrews 6 that our Lord Jesus Christ's redemptive sacrifice on the holy wood of the cross was completed, fulfilled, and brought to perfection by his resurrection and entrance into heaven. Thus, our Lord's ascension is the ultimate moment of our salvation. And to understand this, we must focus on our Lord Jesus Christ as the High Priest, which is one of his many titles. The function of the High Priest is to bring forth a victim for sacrifice. In Israel, animals like innocent lambs were sacrificed as an atonement for sins. The sacrifice was perfected only when the high priest and the victim entered into the Holy of Holies in the Jewish temple. It was only at that moment that the sacrifice was made effective. Today, we celebrate how our Lord Jesus Christ, the true high priest, entered into the Holy of Holies as both the high priest and the victim. We know that our Lord is the true high priest because he brought himself as a victim, even though there was no reason for him to be condemned and put to death. For this reason, St. Paul teaches us, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. This is what we are celebrating today. Our Lord Jesus Christ entered into the most holy place, the tabernacle not made with hands, heaven itself, having obtained eternal redemption for all mankind. He entered into heaven as one of us, as the last Adam, the head of our race. Remember that our Lord existed in heaven for all eternity as the only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Nonetheless, out of his great love for us, he was incarnate. He came and he took upon himself all of the weaknesses and frailty of the human race. He suffered unspeakable tortures and offered himself as a pure sacrifice for us. He rose from the dead so that we could be raised up in the last day as well. And today, he enters into the Holy of Holies, heaven itself, where only God is truly at home as one of us. Saint Cyril of Alexandria offered a beautiful explanation of this in the following passage. When the only begotten Word of God ascended into the heavens in the flesh to which he was united, there was something new to be seen in the heavens. The multitude of holy angels was astounded, seeing the King of Glory and the Lord of Hosts being made in a form like ourselves. Then the angels asked this, "What are these wounds in your hands?" And he said to them, "These wounds I received in the house of my friends." These are the wounds that our Lord showed to his disciples after his resurrection. Even now, however, he bears these wounds in his glorified flesh forever as he stands before the Father as though slain, being the one mediator between God and man. Before him, no human being could pass through the veil and enter heaven, but through Christ, the veil has been torn. This is literally what happened at the time of his crucifixion. The veil between the Holy of Holies and the remainder of the temple was split in two. We know that the Holy of Holies represented the holiest place, heaven itself. With Christ's redemptive sacrifice and ascension, the veil between the world and heaven has been split open. and we are all able to enter the Holy of Holies, provided we live worthily. What we celebrate today is the subject of Psalm 47, which is the psalm for the Ascension, and also the psalm that the priest recites at the end of every liturgy while clapping his hands. It says, God has ascended with jubilation, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. O sing to our God, sing! Sing to our King, sing! With these words, we declare our joy with the angels at this great event in which Christ, the high priest, presented himself as a sacrifice in heaven, thereby uniting the heavenly with the earthly. We can imagine God the Father greeting his only begotten Son and saying to him, Welcome home, Son. And we can imagine the only begotten Son responding, Thank you, Father. I have brought my friends with me, and more are coming. May God grant us to be part of the groups that are coming to live with him forever in his eternal kingdom. Wishing you all a blessed feast of our Lord's Ascension, and glory be to God forever. Amen.